Hello and welcome into this edition of the Golf Channel Podcast with Rex and Lav. Well, folks, we've made it to the very two best weeks of the golfing calendar. This week's Genesis Scottish Open at the Renaissance Club, followed by next week's Open Championship, of course, at Royal Portrush. And Rex, before we get into the player storylines, the golf course, how have your first few days been in golf's birthplace?
Eventful. There's always a lot going on here. I will counter, and only because not me. We have a friend, a colleague, Doug Ferguson, the AP golf writer, the long AP golf writer. I had this conversation with him actually last night on the golf course. I'm with you. I would refer to this as golf's greatest fortnight between this and next week, wherever the Open Championship is. He countered, as he normally does, to be the contrarian, and said he would say it's probably L.A., Pebble, somewhere around there. He is a West Coast guy. To be fair, I see where he's coming from. I'm not quite sure the anticipation is quite as high for that as it is for these 2 weeks, but sure, I'll give a nod to the West Coast.
Yeah, I mean, the West Coast is the best coast. You and I think we've both have argued that that is the best part of the PGA Tour schedule. I guess this is slightly different since now it's a co-sanctioned event on the PGA Tour. The PGA Tour players who came over to Scotland are earning FedEx Cup points this week at the Scottish Open, as they've done each of the last couple of years. You've been there for a couple of days now. You've had an opportunity to play some golf. Here is, of course, the aforementioned Doug Ferguson, the voice of record, Associated Press, alongside Andrew Bradley, our esteemed producer, who is also a guest on the podcast, you'll recall, late last fall.
Infamous,
of course, for when we asked him what his favorite moment of his career was. He was unable to say so. This is North Berwick, my favorite, your favorite golf course in the world. What say you about your experience?
It was magical. As always, it was a little interrupted. I had to stop about halfway through and tape a hit for Central Golf Central last night with our very good friend, Anna Jackson, Ashton Jackson. That is back tee Brad's, as we like to call him, because he'll only play the back tees no matter where we are. And that is on my favorite hole. That's actually on the 14th, which is Briatz, but it's one of the original Briatz's. We teed off at 6:30, and then I caught up with him somewhere around on the 12th hole, and that's 18. That's going back towards town. If you've never had the opportunity to play Berwick, it's essentially a bit of a scaled down version of the old course. That mound in the background that you see, that's called the Law, and it's actually just an old volcano. And then you can see how the town just sort of wraps around. That you're looking down the 18th fairway towards the clubhouse, and then the first fairway is just like it is at the old course at St. Andrews, where it just comes up. So you have this huge double wide fairway. You have people who are sort of lined up down each side of the street watching you, and it's just that is at 10 o'clock last night. That's pretty late, and it is so cool.
Cannot stress enough how great North Berwick is. If you've never had an opportunity to play the golf course, highly recommend it. You can't see her, Rex, in that picture, but bunkmate, your wife, is somewhere waiting behind the green with a pint, waiting impatiently for you to return. Look forward to having her on the pod next week when we do our mini pod recaps. How have things gone so far this week at the Scottish Open? Once again, at Renaissance Club, it is the strongest field, Rex. The Scottish Open is the strongest non-major field outside of the Players' Championship. In other words, it's stronger than all the signature events on the PGA Tour and slightly a weaker field than the Players' Championship. So it's a big deal. A lot of the star players, Rory, Scotty, in the mix. What have been your impressions so far of walking the golf course and what the players had to say?
Well, and I caution a little bit, and this was via Rory McIlroy. I just did an interview with him, and he mentioned during his press conference, this was an event on the DP World Tour schedule, on the European Tour schedule, for years before it became co-sanctioned 4 years ago. And it was a very good event. Co-sanctioning clearly pushed it to a new realm. And if you look at what's happened over the last 3 years, you've had winners that include Rory McIlroy, Xander Schauffele, and then Bobby Mack, who is as Scottish as you could possibly be. He had all of Scotland behind him last year after losing to Rory the year before in a heartbreaker. Rory won 2 years ago with just a heroic shot on the 72nd hole. They gave him a plaque. If you get a plaque, You've done something good, right? You know that you've accomplished something.
I mean,
special.
That two iron was sick in some of the worst conditions you could possibly fathom.
I mean, it was just into the teeth of the worst winds. And if you remember correctly, Bobby Mack finished up his round in a group or two before Rory, and he actually had to hit a 3-wood from the right rough, I think. And it was a magical shot as well. It was really cool. So the point is, it's produced some serious drama and just in a very short amount of time. It also attracts such a good field, as you pointed out. And I think there's a reason behind that. Of all the major championships, you don't have another course that sets up so perfectly for guys who are getting ready for next week. Doesn't matter if it's a Port Rush or St. Andrews or Carnoustie, wherever it might be. Renaissance is not a true links course. All of my Scottish friends behind me, behind that curtain right there, would be the first ones to tell you it's not a true links course. And we can get into the semantics of that maybe in the fall when we don't have anything else to talk about. But you can still come here, and I did think it was fascinating. I did interviews today with Scottie Scheffler and Rory, and both of them talked about the idea that, yes, you're sort of dialing in how you can control your trajectory. Up, hit high shots, hit low shots. You want to work it in one way or the other, to hold it against the wind, depending on where it's coming from. But the bigger thing that they want to try to accomplish this week is how the ball comes off the turf. And it's sort of, I would love to see the science behind this, but Scotty did the best job of explaining it. He pointed out that I grew up in Texas. I know how to play in the wind. But the first time he came over here, I believe it was 2019, to play this event. This was his first exposure to any links golf experience. He had to learn that if you hit a full shot, you get more spin coming off this type of links turf. And it really impacted him. I think he missed the cut that week in that first experience with links golf. And he really had to learn, well, if it's normally a 9-iron with just an enormous amount of spin, I probably need to try to take something off an 8-iron. And it's the learning curve, that learning curve, that I think every player cherishes when they come over here, because it doesn't necessarily get you ready for next week at Royal Portwatch. Again, a little bit different test, vastly different test, but it gets you acclimated, it gets you used to the time change, and it gets you used to the turf, and that's a huge part of this.
Yeah, it's very interesting. Scottie Scheffler, remember, did not play the Scottish Open last year, opted instead to play some of the golf courses around Troon to sort of get prepared that way, has gone back to what his schedule had been the previous few years, which is to play the Scottish Open. And look, everyone sort of has their eye on next week at the Open Championship. And there's reasons, as you mentioned, why guys would want to do it beyond just getting used to, you know, what your body feels like after a 9-hour travel day and what it's like to be across the pond and getting adjusted and getting your family settled and all those things. It's the shots and the creativity. And that's why I think, you know, this part of the schedule, Rex, is such a good counterbalance to everything else. And we talk about this a lot, where you have to strike a balance if you're a PGA Tour player between the signature events and the full field events. If you're a golf fan, you want the superstars, but you also want the underdog stories like we saw last week with Brian Campbell. And I think, too, it's important to be a well-rounded player, that you're obviously getting fed a steady diet of U.S.-centric golf courses where you really have to bomb it and you have to wedge it close. And when you get around the green, you got to take your 60 and you open it up and you hit sort of like a semi-explosion shot. Like, that is what you were playing almost the entire year on the PGA Tour. Links golf is just different. There's shot shaping, there's creativity, there's imagination, there's touch, there's artistry, there's variability, certainly with not just club choice, but also the conditions. It's all on display. And I think the top players in the world have wised up that it's really hard to go from a John Deere or Rocket Classic or a Travelers Championship straight across the pond into an Open Championship. It just takes a little bit of extra time, extra preparation, extra shots off that spinnier turf, as you mentioned, to get acclimated to it. And that's why I think this has been such a must watch if you're a golf fan. It's the best players in the world playing a completely different style of golf than you're accustomed to.
And I will say, there has been a push in recent years to maybe, I mean, this is the perfect example. If you ever make it to this coast of Scotland, this is what they call the Golf Coast. And right next door, literally, I could walk there in 5 minutes, is Muirfield. And we all know how magical that is. 10 minutes down the road is North Berwick. We just gushed and talked about how that great that is. Gullen, which is 15 minutes in the other direction, has three world-class courses. So I think it's just by comparison that they look at Renaissance and they're like, well, why can't we go play that course? That one would be much more enjoyable to play. And actually, Ricky Fowler won this event a few years ago at Gullin. I believe it was Gullin number two. Mm-hmm. And it was a really cool golf course. You've been there. We both played it. We absolutely love it. But you're right. I think everybody has realized that this is the best case scenario, that as far as the PGA Tour schedule goes, this is the gift that never stops giving, that it allows you to sort of ease your way into it. Even if you miss the cut, that just allows you a couple of days to leisurely get over to Royal Portrush. I will say yesterday, and it gives you some irrational confidence, and yesterday playing Barrick, well, late last night playing Barrick, it was into on the way out and down on the way in, just out and back, normal links pairing. I didn't play many holes on the way out, as again, I had to go do some work, and so I caught up with them on, I think, on 12, and just bombed the new four iron. Thank you, Tina. It is so good. And I got done with the round, and you and I were trading text messages, and super producer Andrew Bradley asked me, like, man, you really hit it well. And I said, well, downwind on a links course, you can hit anything a mile. So I'm only going to take it so far. You can get a lot of confidence, but you can also get beat up really quick.
Back when I used to be good at golf, I remember distinctly my 36-46 at Troon. You can imagine which one was downwind and which was into and from the left, in which I was hitting just wide, wide misses that completely shattered all my confidence. Potentially, who knows, has led to my current driver yips that I'm currently afflicted with. You've had a busy day, Rex. You were the Golf Central reporter this week, if I have not mentioned that already. So you can catch Rex all week on Golf Channel. You've been interviewing Rory, interviewing Scotty, J.J. Spahn, Xander Schauffele was also on the docket on Tuesday. And Scott, let's start with Rory McIlroy, who's obviously going to be the center of attention next week at the Open Championship in a home game at Royal Portrush as well. What stood out to you about what Rory had to say as he spoke with just, not just you, but the rest of the assembled media there at Reading?
He had said this over the last few weeks, and we talked about trying to find motivation after reaching the top of the mountain, trying to find something to inspire him after winning the Masters and completing the career Grand Slam. You and I have talked about, like, man, what must that be like? Like, that to me is something I can't even wrap my mind around. It was a few years ago, maybe last year, actually, that they had a comedian who was sort of masquerading as the greeter here at Renaissance Club. And he was just a funny guy, and he was greeting all the players as they walked in with just something funny. And as Rory walked by, and I've gone back and watched this a couple times because Rory's reaction is priceless, is he turns to Rory and he goes, "You look like a plucky character from a Disney movie." And Rory had to do a double take. And as he walked up to me today for us to do our interview, I thought to myself, he looked like a plucky character from a Disney movie right now. He was very outgoing. He was very friendly. We sat and talked. He's been over here since just after the Travelers Championship. He and his family are moving into a new house down in London at Wentworth. It's given him a time to sort of sink in, to sort of relax, to sort of try to process what's happened so far this season, all the good and the bad. He knows he's going to be here for 2 weeks, and a little while after that, he's going to stick around in the UK for a couple more weeks after it. He's just relaxed. This is what we anticipated when we kept asking ourselves, what's wrong with Rory McIlroy? Well, I'm not sure what's wrong with Rory McIlroy still to this day, but his comment was, if anything could fix whatever he was in, if anything could motivate him again, it was a return to Portrush for an Open Championship. And I asked him, has the last few weeks felt different? He said, absolutely. I will say, in a very lighthearted moment, that our friend Julius Mason at the PGA of America probably felt deep into his core, Rory was asked, what must it be like to only have one opportunity it's been every 6 years, but you only have one opportunity, a couple opportunities in your lifetime to actually win an Open Championship in his own country, Northern Ireland. And he stopped and he goes, yes, it would obviously be special to win an Open at Portrush. It would be special to win an Open at St. Andrews. He goes, it would be special to win a U.S. Open at Pebble Beach. And without pausing, he goes, it would be special to win a PGA Championship at PGA Frisco.
No. Oh, God. Fantastic. That's terrific.
I asked Roy afterwards, and I said, were you saving that one? He goes, I don't know where that came from. He goes, I actually felt bad as soon as I said it, as soon as it came out of my mouth.
I mean, you could talk about the various parts of Rory's game and why this portends well. Like, he drove it great at Oakmont for the U.S. Open. He putted great at the Travelers Championship at his last start on the PGA Tour. But as he mentioned in his press conference, like, he really liked the idea of detaching himself over the past couple of weeks, where, you know, there's a grind on the PGA Tour. There's a certain routine. There's a certain cadence to it. The Tuesday through Thursday grind is all the same every single week. this has felt different. I think not just sort of the crowd affection, but the style of play, incorporating your family more on a daily basis, I think is always a positive thing for a player like Rory, who's 36 and has been doing this now for what, 18 years as a professional. And so I think that's all going to be a very positive thing. He's not played since the Travelers. He's going to be skipping the first FedEx Cup playoff event at Memphis, the FedEx St. Jude Championship. And so, you know, after Port Rush, he's going to have a little bit of downtime as well. Going to ramp back up, of course, for the remaining two events of the FedEx Cup playoffs before all attention turns to the Ryder Cup, where he is clearly going to be public enemy number one for the American team and those American fans. How about Scottie Scheffler, Rex, the prohibitive world number one, 100 plus weeks now as the top player in the world, did not play any links golf. I found this surprising. Did not play any links golf until the 2021 Scottish Open. Never played in a Walker Cup over here. Never played any amateur or junior events over here. A very U.S.-centric player. Seems to me, though, that he would have the perfect style of game that could eventually win and be a great links player, as Tom Watson was all those years ago.
Yeah, I think his level of ball strike, his brand of ball striking travels pretty well, Watson being a perfect example on that front. As long as he can learn how to flight the ball, I could think that conversation about how the ball comes off the turf differently here than it does back home in Texas or in the United States. And as long as you start to understand that and start to get a feel to it, I watched him hit balls. He hit a lot of balls today, and it was all the normal stuff. It's studying his grip like he's touched the club for the first time, hitting rockets like it's signature Scotty, and you're right. But I did make this point last night on Golf Central, where he is the prohibitive favorite, not just this week, but next week, for all the reasons that we know. The ball striking, the ability to compartmentalize when he gets down the stretch, the ability to hit the right shots coming down the stretch. He's done it time and time again. And I was a little surprised to hear him say that he loves this style of golf, that he loves kind of bringing less scientist, more artist. And that's what links golf sort of demands out of you, that you're not always going to be able to sit and play swing, but sometimes you just have to play the game and what the conditions, what the lie, what the turf is giving you in that moment. I will say, as a caveat, that instead of just handing him the trophy this week and the Claire check next week, the one thing that does give me pause, and this just is necessarily isn't Scotty, but certainly it hammers at home the point that he loves the constants in his life. All of those things that I mentioned, the ball striking, the knowing I can do this coming down the stretch, the knowing I've been here before. What he doesn't like is the variables. Like, he doesn't like the outside influences that sometimes impact the game. And they almost always impact the game in these 2 weeks, where you get a wind gust, you get the bad side of the draw, you get a bad bounce off the turf, you end up in a pot bunker that under normal circumstances would be fine, but leads to making a double bogey or worse. All of the things that we love about links golf, I think that can kind of get under his skin. Now, he's played well. I think the last 2 years he's finished in the top 10. Last year he finished in the top 10 in both the Open and the Scottish Open. So he certainly knows how to do it. But it's those variables that sort of add an element of, let's call it, uncertainty when it comes to Scotty.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. And it's one of the reasons why Bryson DeChambeau has never played well in the Open Championship. I take that back. He played well. He feels like T6 in 2022 at the Open Championship. That's a different style of golf course, where his bomb and gouge style of play at that golf course, which is probably antiquated a little bit in terms of distance, if the conditions were not favorable, and they certainly weren't in 2022. But, you know, flighting the golf ball, dealing with bad bounces, some of the unpredictability that you get with links golf is certainly a reason why Bryson DeChambeau has not played overly well in the Open Championship. But I honestly do think that Scottie Scheffler could become a phenomenal links player. You can tell that it really taps into like his golf nerdy side, and he was downright verbose in describing the differences between U.S. in UK style of golf. He loves getting creative, loves working the ball. I loved how he talked, Rex, about how making sure that his swing is good at neutral and that he can hit the ball straight. And from there, you can add some sort of workability and some variability to the shot shapes and the trajectories. I think that all taps into what Scottie Scheffler has always done well. He has better ball control than any player on the planet. And hitting it completely on the screws, particularly when the winds get up, is just of the utmost importance. One thing I did want to touch on as it relates to Scottie Scheffler, sort of big picture, is talking about the international schedule. You and I wax about how much we love these couple of weeks. Roy McIlroy, in particular, has talked about how he would love to see sort of national opens heightened in importance, potentially becoming co-sanctioned events with the PGA Tour, whether it's the French Open, the Spanish Open, BMW PGA, South African Open, whatever you want to describe it as. That did not particularly sound like something that Scottie Scheffler would be interested in at this point in his life. 29 years old, young family, said he's really trying to prioritize the weeks at home, and that, yes, it's special when he goes over for a Scottish Open and Open Championship, but adding those sorts of weeks and experiences might not be something that's on the docket for him right now.
To revisit something, I'm with you. I found it very fascinating when Scotty talked about neutral. I don't know what that means. I found it interesting. I found it fascinating, but I don't understand the concept.
He wants to be able to hit it straight.
Okay, I don't need you to explain it to me. I get it. I don't know how to hit the ball straight. I get it.
Absolutely. I don't need you to mansplain it for me. No, there's always something. There's always some sort of curve, and it's usually
something's moving one way or the other.
It's usually the curve that I'm not anticipating.
To your point, I was actually a little surprised. I guess I should have known it, that when Scotty in that conversation said that he's never played as a professional in either Australia or Asia. Like, my mind started to spin. Like, how is that possible? It seems like he's been playing the game long enough. But yes, he prioritizes his game at home. It's going to be interesting going forward in his career, because that's only going to manifest itself more and more as I'm guessing his family grows and as baby Bennett gets older, and he probably wants to start coaching the baseball team or whatever it is Scotty wants to do as a father. It's not going to change, and it's sort of the exact opposite of the conversation that you have with Rory this afternoon. When he was kind of asked a few years ago, he said that he hadn't had a vacation in over a decade. Now, that has changed for Rory the last year or so, and he said it actually today. He said his New Year's resolution was, I'm going to have more fun. And the idea was they went skiing as a family earlier this year. He went on a guys trip to Europe earlier this year. Like, he's really taken this opportunity to go in the opposite direction, because I don't see Scotty coming back. And you're right. To that point about turning more events into what they created here, Guy Kinnings, the CEO of the DP World Tour yesterday, he and I were talking, and I had asked him sort of just, have you met Brian Rolapp, the new CEO of the PGA Tour? And he said he had, and he said he really liked what he heard. He was wildly impressed with Brian, like all of us were, but he said he really liked what he heard when Brian said that he wants to grow the game internationally. And Guy's hands kind of went in the air, like, look around, look what we've created here. And we could do this at the Irish Open, which has been turned into a really good event on the European Tour. Their flagship event, the BMW PGA Championship in London later this year. You have the BMW International in Germany. You have all the events in the Middle East, Abu Dhabi and Dubai. They have created this international footprint that would be really easy to, it's probably the right way to put it, but for the PGA Tour to co-opt and to do exactly what they've done here and co-sanction and bring everybody together and do something that Rory suggests could be really cool. But I think the line in that sand would be, I think there's more Scottie Schefflers on the PGA Tour in the upper hierarchy of golf than there are, let's say, Rory McIlroy's from a few years ago.
I mean, they would have to create incentives that just make it impossible to turn down, essentially. So instead of a Scottie Scheffler playing at the American Express, you know, why would he want to go to play the Dubai Desert Classic? Or why would he want to play the Abu Dhabi Championship? You'd have to make it, you know, so lucrative, either financially or with FedEx Cup points, or the field or the competition or the golf course. Like, there has to be incentives other than, let's just take some of the marquee events on the DP World Tour and sort of make them co-sanctioned events on the PGA Tour. Then it also is creating even more of what we currently have on the PGA Tour, which is an A and B tour of signature events and full field events. Do you then just have, you know, the Abu Dhabi Championship, let's say, in the early part of 2026? If you make that a quote-unquote signature event, do the best of the rest then play the American Express? Well, if you're American Express, you don't like that scenario where all of a sudden now you're getting numbers 71 through 150 on the PGA Tour FedEx Cup standings, as opposed to a sprinkling of the very top players in the world. Like, I love the idea. I would absolutely love to see a worldwide schedule. It does seem like, though, Rex, like the PGA Tour is going down the U.S.-centric side and making sure it's sort of American-based, and LIV Golf has sort of branded itself now with so few stops in the U.S. as sort of the world tour. and visiting parts of the world that are potentially a star from elite golf competition.
Well, and I think he meant it a little backhanded a few weeks ago. Scott O'Neill, who's the CEO of LIV Golf, he compared LIV to Formula One from an international standpoint, from what they're trying to do on property, create sort of a party, create a scene, and compare the PGA Tour to NASCAR. And I think maybe, again, a little backhanded, but there is some truth to that. The PGA Tour is very U.S.-centric. It always has been. Go back to the World Golf Championships, which have now faded away, but they were almost all exclusively played in the United States. And I don't see that changing going forward, which is unfortunate, because the picture that we just painted, where you do include those national opens and those marquee events from around the world, not just here in Europe, but also in Asia and Australia and around the Pacific Rim, you could create a really cool schedule to go back to our longstanding blank page, blank piece of paper conversation. Right? If I just gave you a blank piece of paper and said, give me 2025 events of the best in the world. Don't worry about where they are. Don't worry about the timing. We can figure that out. They're not all going to be in the United States.
And in fact, I think many of them would be during the summer, which I think you could make the argument is probably the weakest part of the PGA Tour schedule. But you'd love to see just an Irish-Scottish Open Championship swing that's part of the PGA Tour schedule in the future. I think also going into the fall with some of the other events, whether it's the BMW PGA or Australia, incorporating them as part of the PGA Tour schedule also gets tricky, because now you've just laid out a scenario for the very best players in the world. If you play from January until August, concluding with the Tour Championship, obviously you're going to have a team event, the President's Cup or the Ryder Cup. Scottie Scheffler is going to be shutting it down. He's shutting it down all fall, if not for the Hero World Challenge. And so all of a sudden you're going to start making them potentially play again in the fall. I think that's going to be a hard sell for players potentially as well. Again, it's just a phase of life. There'll be a time when the Scottie Schefflers and anyone else who's sort of 27 through 33 is going to want to travel and see the world and bring their family, and it's great, and sort of check off these national opens and play at golf courses and play tournaments that are largely significant and historic in the world of golf. It's just a phase, and right now the world calendar is not conducive to that sort of thing. Real quick, Rex, what's the one thing that you're most keen on watching this week at the Genesis Scottish Open?
The weather forecast. Because if it's, I could spin the, there is a window in front of me, I could spin it around, and actually, I will actually, since we're playing the game, you can see right now.
That is glorious.
Perfect. Yes, it's very nice looking out over the seventh hole there. As a friend of ours, Gibbo from the DP World Tour, said, welcome to the Scottish Riviera today when I saw him. So it's forecast to stay very similar to that the rest of the week, but as we all know, the forecast in Scotland, it's kind of like, maybe I got it right, maybe I didn't, I don't know. Going to get a little bit more rough around the edges, let's say, next week at the Open Championship. And I think that's always the fun part of this, not necessarily for the players, but certainly for you and I, who love watching the chaos and them go through all of the death and destruction that that deals with the rain and the wind and all of the elements. And you want that.
Dry, bouncy is absolutely what you want if you're watching.
It's dry, bouncy golf right now. Yeah.
I will say the forecast next week for Portrush, I've just started packing. It actually looks pretty favorable. A slight chance of rain earlier in the week, but otherwise, we're looking at 65 to 75, partly cloudy skies. You would just love to see. I actually forgot, Rex. Remember how bad the rain was in 2019?
Sunday.
It's some of the players have mentioned how god awful the conditions were. I don't particularly remember that, because all of these weeks sort of came together.
But I remember trying to walk out and walk with that final group, and it was just impossible. Raleigh came apart.
That's why we got our wellies. That's why we got our slicks. That's why I have three pairs of Gore-Tex that I'll be packing on my trip to Scotland. Rex, you and I will be doing this again on Sunday. It'll probably be actually Sunday afternoon for those of you in the States. We'll be recapping the Genesis Scottish Open, looking ahead to the Open Championship. No podcast for linear television on Monday, so it'll be quick and easy. 25, 30 minutes, however long it takes us to get through what we need to get to. And then, of course, you guys know the drill on Open Championship Week, a full preview podcast on Wednesday, followed by mini podcasts after the tournament rounds Thursday through Saturday, followed by the 52-minute made-for-TV special on Sunday of the Open Championship. Absolutely cannot wait to get across the pond. In the meantime, you guys know the drill. NBCSports.com/golf. For all latest news, notes, and updates from Rex on site this week at the Scottish Open. Thanks for listening. Thanks for the support. We'll talk to you guys in a couple of days.